Live online to the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show at WNSR.com.
Welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Franks with you. Don't forget, 6:30 tonight for the pregame tip coming up just after 7. I like the Grizzlies and the 6.5 points. Not quite ready to say outright victory tonight for the Grizzlies against the Milwaukee Bucks. But I will say this, something has to give here. Milwaukee plays awful on the road. The Grizzlies, 3 games under .500 at home. They play much better on the road. Unfortunately for the Grizzlies, this game is in Memphis. So something has to give in this one. I think the Grizzlies will keep it close, ready to call out the outright win. Not ready to go there, but it should be a pretty exciting game tonight. We'll have it right here beginning at 6:30. Time to talk some Tennessee Titans, Nashville Predators, and more who are in action as well. John Glennon with BroadwaySportsMedia.com. John, thank you again for joining us. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Johnny. Always good to be on. Appreciate it.
All right, first things first, let's talk a little Nashville Predators. So they get a chance to host Florida tonight, 7 o'clock as far as the puck drops, 2 games under .500. What do we make out of the Predators? You know, just when you want to write them off, they make a little bit of a run. Still not able to put together 3 straight wins this year. They've had, 3 other opportunities now to pull that off. They failed last time out against Carolina, losing 4-2. Where do you look at, when you look at the Predators, where are they right now in your eyes?
Well, I see a team that has fared pretty well against teams near the bottom of the division. I think they're 7-3 against, I believe, Columbus, Detroit, Chicago, maybe, or maybe 9-5. Maybe that's a little bit better. But in terms of the teams above them, which includes tonight's game against Florida, they are 1-7 against Florida, Carolina, and Tampa Bay. So it's a pretty clear line of demarcation right there, and if you're looking at the Predators and saying, okay, they're going to have a few more chances here in the next week or two to start beating some of those upper level teams, and if they can't, then that's when I think you really have to turn a more critical eye towards the trade deadline, and that's when you start wondering, is it time for the big makeover, for the big rebuild? Because if you can't beat the better teams really at all, in the division this year, is it worth keeping this team together, or is it time to make some significant changes?
When do you start thinking about the expansion draft and how Seattle could impact the Predators moving forward as well? Everybody's going to lose one player, right, except for Vegas. Yeah. And so do you even think about that if you're the Predators at this point?
I'm sure, David Poile is a guy that, he's a tremendous preparation guy. There's not a detail that David Poile doesn't prepare for. So I'm sure he has looked ahead, to some possibilities there and so forth. In some ways, I wonder if the Predators certainly might hope in some ways that a player like Ryan Johansson, might get taken off their hands, in an expansion draft by Seattle. As we know, the long-term deal with Ryan Johansson just has not turned out to be nearly as productive as the Predators nor Johansson had hoped. And then there's still a significant salary there. So, I'm sure that's in the back of their minds that maybe, a team would like Seattle would think, hey, he is a talented veteran. We don't have a lot of guys like that. Maybe they would do the Preds a favor in that regard. But I'm sure, the Predators have certainly plotted out those options as well.
Any untouchables that you see on this roster right now?
It would certainly be an absolute stunner if they moved Roman Josi. He is obviously the reigning Norris Trophy winner. Aside from that, though, you look at Forsberg and you say, okay, probably close to an untouchable, but at the same time, it's not as if he is, an elite level player, I don't think. You know, I think there's always that potential for Philip Forsberg, but he still hasn't made that kind of next jump to the elite level yet, and he's had a few attempts at doing that so far. So to me, you know, I think, you know, even he might be you know, available if you're really wanting to make a significant rebuild. And other guys, you know, Ryan Ellis, you know, I think he's you know, potentially movable as well. Like I say, you know, if you really want to turn things upside down, you know, and bring in as much talent and you know, potential and prospects and draft picks as you can, to me, Roman Josi is the only absolute lock as far as keeping.
Yeah, I mean, look at the ages. I mean, Roman Josi, 30. Ryan Ellis is also 30. Matthias Ekholm, 30. And then we, you know, like Philip Forsberg, for example, you know, maybe that is a little bit, if you think about disappointments with the team, him not quite there yet as far as making that next jump. He's still 26. How much, I mean, we think about these ages and, you know, when you think about the hits as far as in the long seasons with regards to a hockey season and then think about postseason action as well, you know, 30 looks a little bit different these days.
It does, you know, and certainly the, you know, the Predators and David Poyle had in mind, you know, I think when this team made its run to the Stanley Cup final you know, in the year or so after that, or, you know, maybe even leading up to it, you know, David Poyle could see some talent that was starting to emerge, and he signed a lot of guys to long-term contracts thinking, all right, what we're seeing this year is what we're going to be seeing, you know, each and every year for the next several years. And really, it just hasn't turned out that way in a number of cases. You know, Ryan Johansson is one of those guys. You know, Matt Duchene was certainly not part of the long playoff run, but, you know, same sort of situation. A guy you see at coming in at, you know, a pretty good age, and you think there's a lot of years ahead of him, and it's just, you know, hasn't happened yet. And Victor Arvidsson certainly, you know, matches that sort of the identity, too, of a guy that they locked up and said, okay, Victor Arvidsson's going to be this good for a long time, and it just hasn't happened. And it's surprising to me that it hasn't happened in so many players that have dipped, you know, despite the fact that they're not that old. You know, the production still has waned, you know, in the last season or two.
I mean, it's interesting, you know, to me, like, for example, we look at the Tennessee Titans losing Jarrell Casey, and I understand, you know, the some key injuries in the last two or three years with the Titans, but he gets moved in the offseason prior to 2020. And I don't necessarily feel like that the Titans ever replaced that leadership off the field, per se. And certainly it impacted the team on the field as far as, you know, that front of the defensive front. And to me, I look at the Nashville Predators over the last 3 years or so. I mean, we've heard the rumblings. We've heard the lack of communication. We've heard about lack of chemistry. And, you know, it's great that, you know, these players at the time, it looked like a good idea, long-term deals. Players got paid. But sometimes it takes away the hunger, too, that these players have. And for whatever reason, no one seems to be able to, you know, quite touch exactly the reason why, but this team is underperformed, speaking of the Predators.
Yeah, it really has, and you know, I think a lot of people had hoped that, you know, the change in coaches, you know, the change in coaching style as well from Peter Laviolette to John Hines would make that difference in an underachieving team. Say, okay, we're going to, you know, Peter Laviolette traditionally as a coach is a guy that has his best years two or three years into his tenure, and then it starts to slide after that. You know,
right.
maybe he kind of rubs people the wrong way after a while. Maybe he's a little too intense. So, you know, you bring in more of kind of a, you know, maybe more of a player's coach, you know, a guy who's a good instructor, John Hines, and say, okay, maybe he's the guy that makes the difference there. But that's kind of the puzzle to me, is that, you know, really you haven't seen a lot of guys turn around their performances. Because if you look back even further, you know, when Peter Laviolette came in, there was that big turnaround. You know, a lot of guys did step up their play, you know, pretty quickly because of the change. but we just haven't seen that so far. And you know, you spoke of leaders too, and I think sometimes, you know, I still wonder if there's that one or two guys on the Predators that you can point to and really say he is a driving force for this team. I'm not saying that they completely lack leaders, but, you know, when you look at guys in the past like a Mike Fisher.
I was going to bring up Mike Fisher because, to me, that was the key player. Yeah, and certainly, you know, there's a reason why, you know, you retire at that age. I mean, you know, you have a lot of ice time under your belt. But as far as, you know, that piece that you're missing as far as chemistry, holding everybody together, being that leader, making everybody better around you, Mike Fisher was that guy, and I haven't seen it replaced since he's retired.
Yeah, and you know, Shea Weber was that kind of guy, obviously, for a long time as well. And you look at the team now, and as I say, it's not without leadership. You know, Roman Josi is a good leader. Ryan Ellis is. Ekholm, you know, you look at there's some of the forwards too. You know, Forsberg is a leader, you know, as well, but still kind of that, you know, that rock solid presence that you like to have, and you know that eyes turn to, you know, in times of difficulty, and I just don't know if they have that right now, and that's you know, that's an issue. You brought up a good point when you mentioned Jurrell Casey, and we saw that, you know, the Titans not only in Jurrell Casey, but, you know, Logan Ryan and Wesley Woodyard, and we've talked about that before too, how, you know, those three guys, you know, you can make cases for all of them leaving the Titans or you know, the Titans parting ways with them, but that's an awful lot of leadership and an awful lot of smarts that you know, departed from that Titans defense.
I mean, in hindsight, if you didn't bring Clowney in, if you had kept Jack Conklin, if you also kept Logan Ryan, how different would last year's team look going into postseason?
Yeah, you never know. I mean, like I say, you could make solid cases for you know, parting ways with those guys. You know, it wasn't a clear cut. Oh my God, why didn't they bring him back? You know, Logan Ryan, you know, was. He had his ups and his downs. Certainly, there are a lot of things he did well, you know. But you know, he was probably, you know, a step slower than he had been earlier in his career as well. Jurrell Casey, you know, was going to have another whopping salary, and you know, had slipped a bit, you know, as well. And Conklin, you know, at the time that they had to decide on the option, certainly, then you know, they made the right call there, but. You know, when you make these calls, sometimes, you know, you got to live through the consequences as well. And, you know, certainly there was a lack of something, I think, especially on that Titans defense in terms of, you know, as we have brought up before, the communication, the leadership, et cetera, those factors really came into play.
I was doing the numbers, you know, now that we're talking about the NFL, I was doing the numbers and looking at, you know, the position teams are in or not in, depending on how you want to look at it, with regards to the salary cap. And the things that are interesting, knowing that 7 of the 8 top teams with the most money to spend from the AFC, 9 of the top 11, 11 of the top 14 teams, all from the AFC. Unfortunately for the Tennessee Titans, they're not one of them, but the other three teams in the AFC South are. And the one that you need to be most concerned with if you're a fan of the Titans, that would be the Indianapolis Colts. They have plenty of money to spend, and so is Jacksonville. But, you know, to me, Jacksonville will find a way to mess that up. So I'd be more concerned about the Colts. At least the Titans are in a good are in a better shape than they were a week ago, but still with only $5 million, you know, as far as the salary cap right now, on the good side of the salary cap, more moves, more waivers to me are still in store for the Titans. Who do you think that the Titans could be looking at to also waive?
Well, you know, it depends, of course, on who they really want to re-sign and so forth. But, you know, I still think, you know, as well as Malcolm Butler played for this team last year, you know, that's $10 million in cap space if you move on from Malcolm Butler. That's a lot of money.
And that's the one. That is the one right there, too. My number
really
one pick.
Is. you know, and you have to ask the question, you know, can we do more, you know, with that $10 million, you know, maybe add a couple of players or maybe add a player that we think will be worth more than what we will be getting from Malcolm Butler. Again, a very good season for Malcolm Butler, you know, great effort kind of guy. But that's an awful lot of money. And then I think the other one that, you know, you take an awful long look at his salary too is Kenny Vaccaro, you know, that potentially carves out about $5 million in cap space there. And you've got a guy in Imani Hooker, you know, who's been playing pretty well and you know, was productive certainly last year. You know, those are two that come to mind for me. You know, I know there are other guys with potential, you know, that could save, that could add some cap space. You know, Ben Jones' name is one that pops up from time to time. I just don't know if I see that happening. You know, to me, Ben Jones is a guy that's right in the middle of that offensive line, that's kind of the glue there, and he had a good year last year, and heaven knows how important the offensive line is to this team, both in terms of Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill. So I'm not sure I see it in terms of Jones, but the other two, I think you'd have to, as I say, you'd have to take an awful long look at those contracts in terms of clearing some cap room.
And that's why the whole thing with Isaiah Wilson, you know, being chosen the first round and what has transpired over the last, you know, year with Isaiah Wilson, how bad, you know, as far as the way it looks right now, what a bad miss that has been as far as for this team looking ahead.
Yeah, boy, well, you know, what a whiff. You know, unfortunately, you know, I think it's going to certainly go down as, you know, not only one of the Titans' big misses of all time, but really a historical type miss when you look at the league and you look at a first-round draft pick who is going to probably wind up doing very little or absolutely nothing for the Titans anyway. You know, maybe he turns things around somewhere else. But that's the case where it stands right now. I think the best thing the Titans could hope for, you know, is if some team out there says, hey, maybe we'll give this kid a second chance. We'll give you a late round draft pick and take him off your hands. You know, maybe we've got some assurances that he's going to be a different person, you know, when he arrives here. I think that's the best option for the Titans. But barring that, I don't think there's any way you can bring him back into training camp, you know, even if it means money loss. I just don't think, you know, I think that relationship is broken at this point. There have been too many times in my mind that the Titans have tried to kind of reach out and say, okay, we want to help you turn things around. And there's been too many times where Isaiah Wilson has seemingly hit a rock bottom, you know, and is ready to turn around and has not done it. You know, every time we think maybe it's time for a turnaround, we see you know, a foolish social media clip, or
right,
you know, there's you know, the arrest certainly for the DUI and so forth. You know, there's just been too many times, and what message are you sending to your team, you know, if you bring a guy like that back and say, okay, yeah, sure, we hold everybody accountable, but this guy, we're going to give him 6 or 7 chances.
And the other thing, too, I like your direction, what you're thinking, especially with Adam Humphreys getting released. You know, the Titans right now just over $5 million available. So with those cuts you're talking about, now we're talking about $20 million. So you, if you delete two, you have the chance to pick up 4 or 5 that can play significant roles with this team. Now, you're not going to get the best of an offensive tackle or whatever the case may be, but you can also be able to be in a position to be able to sign anywhere from 3, most likely 3 or 4 is that number from a free agency standpoint that can help the team immediately.
Yeah, and that's what I mean when I say, you know, as well as Butler played for this team last year, at the same time, it was a very shaky secondary overall. And that's not all their fault, because we know this team had no pass rush either.
Well, and that's the thing. You got to find – I mean, that's the number one priority.
Yeah.
You have to be able to improve the pass rush. And that's – if you want a better secondary, one of the ways you do it, by improving your pass rush.
Right, absolutely. And there's a number of guys that should come open in free agency in terms of edge rushers. you know, and when there's a number of guys out there, generally that means the price tag is down a little bit, you know, from what it is in a regular year. You know, and I think they need to make an addition there, and I think they need to add an edge rusher with one of the early picks in the draft as well. You know, it's just a spot that cries out that much for help at this point. And we have to figure, at least I don't see Jadeveon Clowney coming back. I think to me that's a situation where it was okay, we tried it. You know, it wasn't as productive as either side had hoped in the, you know, in the number of games that he played, and I don't see that, you know, injuries are mounting throughout Jadeveon Clowney's career. To me, I just don't see that happening again, and again, that leaves another spot open in terms of potential guys that can get after the passer.
Do me a favor, let the listeners know again what they can expect when they go to BroadwaySportsMedia.com.
Absolutely. Great website there. Give us a look, Broadway Sports Media. We've got tons of Titans coverage. You will not find more Titans coverage anywhere than the Broadway Sports Media website. Very high-quality stuff. We've got all kinds of draft previews, free agency previews on there. Really good. And we're also covering the Nashville SC team quite heavily, and we're covering the Predators as well. So give us a look. Most of the stuff is free over at Broadway Sports Media to take a peek at, and some subscription as well. But I think you'll enjoy your look there.
Hey, we appreciate it. Have a great rest of the week. Look forward to talking to you soon, John.
Sounds good. Thank you, Johnny.
Thank you. That's John Glennon visiting with us. So, hey,